Ahoy, mateys! Welcome aboard The Shallows, the pod designed specifically for all you 10-team and smaller league managers out there. I'm your captain, Eric Henriksen, alongside chief mate, Carson Picard. Carson, how are the seas faring today? This, our 20th episode.
Eric, I finally was able to track him down. Yesterday, I saw the great Shohei Ohtani live in person on the mound dueling against my Minnesota Twins. We'll talk about that later in a bit. But as a result, I am in high spirits on the seas today.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, this being our 20th episode, I didn't even put this in the rundown, but our pre-show conversation got me thinking here. What is your most favorite game that you've ever been to? Do you remember that game? Because we were just talking about games that stuck out. Like, my friend went to John Lester's no-hitter, right? Or perfect game. So, like, what do you have a game like that?
I mean, I went to a game where Clayton Kershaw took a perfect game through seven innings. Which, as a fun fact, he got pulled in that start. And so, as a fun fact, Clayton Kershaw has never allowed a hit at Target Field, which is
That's really crazy.
That's really funny. That one will always live in my heart. Some of the old Twins games at the Metrodome when I was really young, seeing, you know, Maurer and Morneau and those guys were great. And then if I had to say, there was a game against the Rangers that I want to say went into like the 11th or 12th inning. And the shadows were right over home plate and no one could hit anything. And there was just a collective, not even like enjoyment that they won, but just like a sigh of relief. It's like,
thank goodness it's over.
Oh, thank goodness. That was a lot of fun. That was collective feelings in baseball stadiums are always a great time.
Yeah, that's really cool. One of my favorite memories of going to a game was I went to the game that they honored Bob Shepard at Yankee Stadium.
That's cool.
Yeah, so they had his voice play, and it was the first game that he didn't do in, you know, decades. So that was really cool. And my buddy sitting next to me calls a Jason Giambi home run for the Rockies.
Oh,
that's there, and he just goes, Giambi's gonna homer in this one. I said, what do you mean? He's terrible. Bang. Home run. It was, yeah.
That's
so
wild.
that was probably the coolest thing because they did have, if I remember correctly, they had the microphone silent. It was 15, 16 years ago. They had the microphone silent for a little bit, but then, you know, they were playing his audio. So that was pretty cool.
That's really cool. If you, by the way, in the comments have any great game stories of games, do feel free to let us know in the comments. We would really love to read them.
Yeah. I love sharing baseball stories. And so one more question for you then. How many stadiums have you been to? What's your favorite?
Ooh, I haven't been to many yet. There's a Midwest kind of like Rust Belt road trip I'm planning on eventually taking to see a bunch of them. But fun fact about Minneapolis, Eric, is it's far away from like everywhere. So,
yes.
it's like 7 hours if I want to go to Wrigley. And so I've been to, I think, four, and then I also went to a concert at Wrigley Field, funny enough. But my favorite's Fenway. Fenway is so near and dear to me. My father, who I went with, he does not like it because everything that I love about Fenway, all of its weird, quirky things, all of its idiosyncrasies, the cramped seats that don't actually face home plate, the tight corridors, the design built for people that are 5'6", you know. Everything about that I love, he doesn't appreciate as much. But Fenway Park was amazing.
Yeah, I've been to Fenway. I've been to the old and new Yankee Stadium, Shea, Citi Field. I've been to Kauffman, which was pretty interesting. It's literally like there's nothing around it other than Arrowhead.
Yeah, right.
I've been to the Angel Stadium in Anaheim. I've been to Dodger Stadium. But my favorite was Petco Park.
I have been to Petco. If I'm honest, I was slightly underwhelmed by it. I had really high expectations. So because I heard a lot about it and it was really cool. I think the what's the pavilion called in center field?
Oh, I can't remember, but they were having a beer fest yeah, when I went there.
When I went there, it was fine, but they had just kind of a big scoreboard. I do love Petco. Have you ever been? It was just a little lower. It's stiff competition in the parks I've been to. You ever been to Coors Field?
I have not, but I've driven past it. I've driven past it a few times. Just whenever I've been in Denver, they were not home.
Coors is really funny. I went to a game there with the buddy of mine when we were out, and it was Nolan Arenado's second game back after being traded, and they called his first of all terrible Rockies team, sold out game. The Rockies fans, I love you so much. You do not deserve this team, and they don't deserve your support, but the Rockies it was an amazing game.
That's cool.
It went to like the 10th inning. I think the Cardinals then put up like 6 runs in the top of the 10th, and it was really funny. But yeah, it was a good time. Good time. Love baseball stadiums.
Yeah, I really liked Petco because I just felt like it was the coolest atmosphere of any like game. And it was a regular season game between the Padres and the Pirates. The vibe was just so cool at Petco
electric.
Park.
It's electric every day of the week.
But I don't think anything beats watching a game at the top of the Green Monster. I've done that too.
That's really cool. I've been over there, but yeah, that's a lot of fun.
I think Daisuke was on the mound for that game. Yeah. So anyway, love chatting baseball stories. If you have a favorite baseball story, like Carson said, or if you have a favorite stadium that you've been to, put it in the comments. Let us know. We'll check it out, and we're real happy to engage in conversation about that. But on today's show, our 20th episode, we have the captain's report. We're going to do our first half takeaways because we are just about exactly at the halfway point of the season. And then we're going to give you our all-star ballots, which will be really fun. We'll go position by position and each pick our fantasy all-star at the position. So that's going to be pretty fun as well. But before we officially leave port, we release a new episode every Friday. The audio version releases at 7 a.m. Eastern, wherever you get your podcast, and the video version premieres on YouTube the same night at 8 p.m. Eastern. As well, if you want to see our beautiful made-for-radio mugs, so be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Leave us a 5-star rating, like a thumbs up, a kind review, and don't forget we're part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network, so check out the other pods we have available. There are new episodes out daily, and visit pitcherless.com for all the latest and greatest content published daily as well. A little bit of baseball talk to start. So here we go. We're going to be right back with the Captain's Report, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Shallows. That's Carson Picard. I'm Eric Hendrickson, and this is your captain's report on, once again, our 20th episode. First up, we got some injuries. Edward Cabrera to the 15-day injured list with a left hamstring strain. It did not look good. He did a full gymnastic split over at first base, stretching for the ball. I cringed when I saw it. I don't know. Did you?
Yeah, gnarly. Yeah. Don't. I mean, do your stretches, but also, ow.
Yes, ow. All right, Chris Bubich has restarted his rehab assignment. He completed one inning last night. We are recording this on Thursday, June 25th. He restarted his rehab last night on June 24th, and he threw all of 8 pitches in one inning. Success, I guess. But really, the question here is, are we going to have interest in Chris Bubich when he comes off the injured list? Because he was not very good to start the season.
Generally, I am not super high on Chris Bubich. I think relatively, I don't think there's a lot I love there. I'm going to say 8 teamers, no, 10 teamers, maybe.
Sure. That's great. Great way to put it. Matthew Boyd returns today after a couple injuries, if I'm not mistaken. The main one being his knee. And then I think he had like a shoulder impingement or something small with his arm. Any interest in adding Matthew Boyd? I picked him up in a 12 teamer, not necessarily the shallowest of leagues, but, yeah, I'm curious to see how it goes. How about you, Carson?
Boyd was really interesting to start the year, in all of his, 24 innings that he had. I just pulled it up to make sure. A lot of stuff that was interesting, lot of weird results. The ERA wasn't great. A lot of the other metrics liked him a bit. I think I am interested in Boyd. I think he's the type of pitcher I pick up or activate. I pick up, I store on my bench, and I kind of wait and see, maybe start him against weak offenses like the Reds or something like that. But I don't test it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned if he doesn't go deep into the game today when you check the box score while you're listening to this. because he didn't throw that many pitches in his final rehab outing. I think it was only 59 pitches. So
yeah,
I do anticipate maybe not this one, but the next one. I did not activate him for this start. Just throwing that out there. So yeah, I'm excited to see how he does. His strikeout rate way up compared to last year to start the year. So that's a good indicator that maybe success is around the corner for Matthew Boyd. Yuri Perez also returned earlier this week. Speaking about being limited in his first start back, did not throw a ton of pitches in his only rehab outing. 4 1/3, if I'm not mistaken, 1 strikeout, or maybe just 4-1 strikeout. There's a 4-1 in there. Gave up 1 run. I think it was Cal Raleigh homered off of him. I think that's what it was. Cal Raleigh also has not been great since coming off the injured list, despite having a ridiculous performance on his rehab stint. Yeah. But Yuri Perez, you getting him back in your lineups next week?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think Yuri is a great talent. The ERA is not representative. He got crunched for like no apparent reason. And he's too good to fail like this.
Right. And I will say this, though, it was 4 2/3 innings. No walks. That's what we want to see from Yuri.
Lovely.
Yes, because his last two outings before he got hurt, he also had no walks. So I'm glad that he's hopefully picking it up right where he left off. All right, moving on to top performers over the last week. This is definitely something that I know you and I talked about wanting to address a little bit more, because we are a weekly show. So it's hard to always give you like the news that we might be recording on like Wednesday, and then you listen to it on Friday. So Carson, good on ya, as they say, for instituting this. Top performers of the week, we have Dansby Swanson. Oh, dude, my goodness.
He's been crazy.
Oh, my goodness. 11 for his last 23, 4 homers, 4 stolen bases, and he had more RBIs than some fantasy teams in one day of a doubleheader than some teams that I've had put up over an entire week. Carson, is Dansby interesting again?
Yeah. I mean, this is one where I think, first of all, if you have the chance to buy in now, this is one of those hot streaks. But I think Dansby's talent is such that these kinds of performances are, I mean, no one's going to do this for any extended period of time, but being right. able to have these big swaths of production, I'll tell you what I love the most here. It's 4 stolen bases. That's something that really is sometimes tricky to nail down. The 4 home runs that can come and go. The stolen bases is a conscious decision, not only getting on base, recognizing opportunities, having the legs to get there. I mean, that's a whole different ballgame. Four home runs, 4 stolen bases, 11 for 23, getting extra base hits in there as well. That's great. And now as we're seeing injuries start to pile up and all different types of openings present themselves, I think, yeah, absolutely should be rostered, maybe even started in a 10-teamer.
You know what's crazy to me about Dansby is he probably couldn't have been any worse up until this last week.
Oh, he's been rough. He's been really rough.
Oh, it's been so bad. If you go to his StatCast page, now we always go, oh my goodness, it's so red. If you go to Dansby's StatCast page, oh my God, it's so blue. Like, his rolling WOBA, the chart on the right of Fangraphs, is about as low as it can go and about as blue as the line can get. It's absolutely crazy. But to me, I feel like he's just been unlucky. His BABIP is super low. His walk rate is way up. His strikeout rate is down. The ISO is up. I just feel like this could be the beginning of a guy really helping you out, you know, going forward. Maybe he has a really good summer here that can help propel you forward in the standings. I don't know. It's just so, he's just had a weird.
It feels like he needed a
Yeah.
Yeah, he feels like he needed a screw tightening.
Yeah, and maybe he just made a little mechanical adjustment. I mean, for him to have, this is another crazy part to me, for him to be as bad as he's been and generally hitting out of the 9 spot in the order, for him to have 46 RBIs, and I understand 11 of them came in one day, but for him to have 46 RBIs as bad as he's been out of the 9 hole is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, I think, yeah, 11 homers, 10 stolen bases already. Still, he's still on pace for 2020, as I think we all anticipated. Like you said, he was the rock before you don't, or the cliff before not letting, you know, any more shortstops get off the board.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that cliff as far down as you had said?
Who knows? I still think there's a definite gap of the top tier of shortstops. It's just, you know, it's been an interesting year for some of the guys at the top of the rounds.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of injuries at the top two. All right, moving on. Caleb Durbin also has had a phenomenal week. 11 for 24, two homers, two stolen bases, multi-position eligibility. Was traded to the Red Sox for burgeoning ace Kyle Harrison, which tangentially, if you really want to trace it back, was traded for Rafael Devers. So, Carson, do we have any interest in Caleb Durbin?
Not yet, I think. A lot of the underlying process is nice, but we're not necessarily seeing that top-tier upside. I love what I'm seeing for the Red Sox and for Durbin. For shallow league fantasy relevance, not so much.
Now, just because the next few players that we have on the list here are kind of in a different tier than these two that we had just talked about, Durbin and Swanson. So I want to ask you, are we getting to a point in the season where you kind of got to think a little differently, where it's not necessarily, you know, all, oh, this player is a brand name player, I'm going to maybe pick them over somebody else who's hot on the waiver wire? Are you kind of starting to adjust, like, oh, this guy's hot, maybe it's worth just taking the risk and dropping this player who might or predictively might get better?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, there's some players, Julio Rodriguez is a name I'll throw out there. There's some players that I think, like, your talent level is so good, you can't really get rid of him. And Julio's not a guy you get rid of anyway, but he's also a player. Betts hasn't been great this year so far. He home run a double last night. But there's some guys that are just that good enough. But I think there is now an increasing level of the rounds where you can be like, yeah, if you take a seventh rounder like Caleb Durbin, you could totally drop him. Maybe he was taken really high. If these guys that aren't producing, I think you now have to look at things fairly objectively. How are they doing? And any of the name brand attachments, I think that sunk cost fallacy is going to kill you.
Yeah, I think you're moving into that part of the season for sure, where also, like, full season numbers up to this point for some players may not look good, but now they're going to get hot. It's officially hot outside. So, you know,
and I think this is now the kind of thing where you look at how they're performing over the last 30, 45 days, a lot more than like, how is their really rough April? Rafael Devers, you mentioned him earlier. He's been really good since May 1st, but he was just been abysmal in April, and so his numbers overall in the season has tanked, but it's just not really reflective of what he's been doing and what he is doing.
Exactly. Well said. All right, so now we have three more players on the top performers over the last week that, they're a little bit more brand name than Dansby Swanson and Caleb Durbin. Wyatt Langford, finally. Okay, welcome to the 2026 season, Wyatt. 12 for 29, four home runs, but what's really curious about this to me is his exit velocities have been rather atrocious during this stretch, but I don't care, because if he's doing this with terrible exit velocities, now imagine once he gets right. This is what we've always wanted to see from Wyatt Langford. Carson, what do you think?
You know what? It's nice to see him start to do it. Simple as that. Even with the exit velocities, right, you also have four home runs, and you can't hit a home run if you're not crunching it. True. And so I think that this overall, and he was doing this a little over the last, it's more like a last 14 days kind of deal where he's been a lot better. Over the month of June, he's been great. I love to see it. I'm excited to see more.
Yeah. He was dropped in one of my leagues. I think it was a rage drop. I think he went like 0-for-4 one day, and someone was like, ah, rage drop. Don't do that. don't do that with certain players. Okay, you want to rage drop Casey Mize? Sure. Don't rage drop like Wyatt Langford. I'm sorry. So, all right. Yeah, Wyatt Langford's been great, showing what we've wanted to see all season. Now, don't get hurt, please. Okay. Jackie Cags. My guy, Jackie Cags. I think the promise is being fulfilled here. Jackie Cags, 9 for 30 over the last week, six home runs, and they are not cheapies, Carson, at all.
No. I mean, he looks like Donkey Kong out there. He smacks it and it just, I mean, it's a club.
Yeah.
Jackie Cakes, man. I think next year is going to be really interesting for him. I feel like there's a tweak that can be made to elevate him into that next level. Cause he's kind of like Schwarber light right now.
Mm.
That's kind of what I feel for him. I think he's got another gear. I'm hoping for it. But either way, it's after a really abysmal rookie year, I think it's really nice to see him have a level of production. I'm seeing if he can continue that.
Fun fact, he was the last qualified hitter earlier this season to have an RBI.
That's awesome. That's really funny.
Yeah, credit to friend of Pitcherless, Chris Towers, for finding that little nugget. Yeah, that's just pretty wild to me. Love his plate discipline, Jackie Cags. Swing strike rate a little higher this year. But as you just said, having an abysmal April is still reflective in these numbers. And so I think his plate discipline metrics, his contact percentage, swing strike rate are all a lot better than they may appear on the surface. And man, he is going nuclear right now. You know who else is going nuclear from the mound, though? Everyone's favorite problem child. I don't know how. Who knows what you want to call Kyle Bradish at the moment. 15 2/3 innings over his last two starts, 11 hits, one earned run. That's a 0.57 ERA. And what I really like to see here is 21 strikeouts. Carson, can we buy back in fully to Kyle Bradish? Because we thought we did a couple weeks ago, and then he was bad again. But now he's the best we've seen.
I think we'll stick with it. I think I'm sticking with it. Just like, yes, he's good. And you average it out over June, he's had a good month.
Yeah.
Just roll with it.
Yep. I am all in on Kyle Bradish. One player that is not on this rundown that we haven't really talked about. He's not a top performer whatsoever, but he is pitching today against the Cubs. I'm literally going in the opposite direction here. Freddie Peralta has been really bad.
Freddy Peralta has been bad.
Can we talk about that real quick?
Yeah. Bye.
Yes.
Bye.
I agree.
Bye.
Yes.
Bye.
He had the worst start of his career. He's not this bad, and I feel like he's been very unlucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just by the way, get that
into the Mets. Did you see the error cycle they had yesterday?
No. Oh my God. I love it.
Oh my God. Ah, Eric, you. Listen, it was so funny. Everyone should just see it. It's everyone. I love the Mets so much.
Was it like six errors in a game? What
it was
something like that?
I can pull up exactly how many. I know everyone in the infield had an error.
It was
beautiful. I mean, it was just an incredible game. Yeah, six errors for the Mets.
Woof.
In a 10-5 loss against the Cubs. Just like, my goodness. And then the Cubs were like, yeah, we'll take one. We'll poach one of your guys. We didn't even talk about them, but they traded for David Pearson.
They did.
Yep.
Yeah.
But hilarious. Hilarious.
I can't wait to watch that. I'll get some popcorn. Oh, the Metropolitans. Francisco Lindor's back, by the way.
This is true.
Yeah. I assume he's just an automatic start.
Yes. Yeah. One of my all-time favorites.
You are the number one Lindor fan.
I'm the number one Lindor fan. That's true.
Yes, you are. All right. We already talked about you seeing Shohei last night and, you know, the GOAT anyway.
Can I say real quick, though, Shohei Ohtani, we were talking about this pre-show. Shohei Ohtani has thrown 25 pitches over 101 miles an hour in his MLB career. Five of them were last night.
That's
and
wild.
He was very upset, and it seemed maybe like he was trying to hit Dalton Rushing.
Yeah. If you haven't seen those clips, Shohei was not happy with the rookie, not challenging some pitches. Oh. And I think Dalton Rushing's time in Los Angeles is numbered because of that. So
they do not like him.
No, he is a madman. Mm-hmm. Dalton Rushing. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on some team and is just an absolute animal for them. But yeah, I don't think he's long for the Dodgers.
Yeah, future Marlin.
Oh, wow. Just gonna exile him, huh? Normally I'd say you exile him to Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh's actually interesting.
Pittsburgh is doing pretty good.
Yeah. All right, so that does it for your captain's report. When we come back, it'll be our first half takeaways. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Shallows. That's Carson. I'm Eric, and this is our first half takeaways. So Carson, you're up first. What is your number one takeaway from the first half of the season now that we are basically at the exact halfway point?
Yeah, teams have played about 81 games, give or take. We are right there. The All-Star break is a couple weeks away. The trade deadline's a little over a month away. Lots exciting. Here's my midseason takeaway, Eric. The American League is bad. It's bad. There's not a lot going on. Now, I know you're in Yankee land, so maybe from your perspective, things are a little rosier. But you take a look, like the AL West right now is the 500 Mariners, and not many other teams are great. Go peek at the standings.
That's what I'm doing.
What I'm talking about.
Yep.
And then the AL Central is doing the AL Central thing. But there is a lot of teams that have just been dreadful this year. I mean, the Tigers have been really poor. The Royals have been terrible. The Red Sox have been awful.
Love it.
And then you got the, you have the Angels haven't been great. The pitching for the Athletics has been horrific. You've got all sorts of just bad teams in the American League. And here's the kicker. There are three teams in the American League with a positive run differential. One of them is the Mariners, who are holding on to a +4. So it is very thin in terms of the quality up there. And it's surprising. There's a lot of just underwhelming teams in the AL.
There are four teams in the American League above 500.
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually the entire American League East is above 500. And then maybe you got like the last place team is hovering. But this is not. I have not looked at the standings. It's not bad, but it's not good.
Let me tell you how bad things are, Eric. The Twins are 38-44, and they're two games out of a wild card.
Yeah, that's.
That's
The White Sox are in first place in the Central.
The Red Sox are six games out of a wild card.
That's bad because they're 14 games under 500.
They're not. Yeah, it's kind of anyone's game for that third wild card spot. And even the second wild card spot, the Guardians are holding it now. But like, it's crazy. And I think also that even the top performers in the American League, Schlittler's been great. Jordan's been fantastic. Some of the rookies have been really solid. But after that top three, four players, I feel like it's been fairly underwhelming in terms of the really excellent American League guys. All the headlines are about the National League.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy here. Like, the Rays being 12 games over 500, being led by Yandy Diaz.
And the Rays are overperforming considerably.
Oh, absolutely. They're 4-6 in their last 10, so maybe they're regressing a little bit. Yeah. But I'm looking at this, and I'm like, the Orioles can't – I guess they can be this bad because they're pitching. The Blue Jays, Vlad Guerrero has turned into a pumpkin. Yeah. Like, what is going on with Vlad? I know we talked about him a few weeks ago, but –
Astros can't throw a baseball. The Athletics can't either. The Rangers' offense is just still really poor. Like, there's just, and then you got like some of the dark horses. So the Tigers have just evaporated.
Yeah.
They are horrific. The Red Sox, everyone has already talked about them, but they're Mets American League. It's American League's kind of buns right now.
I'm curious because the Mariners pitching staff is phenomenal, right? They have too many starting pitchers.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing this piggyback nonsense. Bryce Miller today went out 5 2/3, 11 strikeouts, season high in strikeouts. I wonder if they're just kind of waiting for Raleigh and J-Rod to heat up, or if they're going to go out like they acquired Eugenio Suarez last year, if they're going to go out and get another bat, because for them to have that pitching staff and be 500 to me is a travesty.
I think this is definitely a thing where they're going to, they have an excess of pitching, and they also have pitching in the dev system. And now, granted, in excess of pitching isn't really a thing. Let's make that clear.
Right.
But if any team did have that, it would be the Mariners. I think, as I'm just looking and trying to remind myself of the Mariners roster, I think definitely they're going to add a bat. I think you need to. Naylor's been bad. That's probably really hurting them. They still don't have a good option at the hot corner. I mean, well, I guess Cole Emerson, he can kind of go over there, who's been really decent, but they're going to do
predictive numbers. His predictive numbers are not good.
Really that poor? I felt they were fine. Oh, I've been
missing. His surface level production has been good. He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Right. So bright future, I think, ahead for Cole Emerson. But yeah, the Seattle lineup, I mean, they've been carried by Randy Arozarena, and Randy does not maintain this level of production every season. We see it every year. He's got one hot half and one cold half.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be a rental bat for sure. I don't think they're going to do any like a team or anything else really significant. Now, who is that going to be? Anyone's guess, man. I don't know the hot deadline names off the top of my head, but I think you can do basically anyone but center field and catcher.
Yeah, I think the hitter names will become more clear over the next, you know, month as teams maybe separate a little further out of the wild card or get a little bit better here and there. Because, man, a lot of these teams, they're quite bunched up. With the exception of a couple, the Red Sox have the worst record in the American League. They're worse than the Angels.
Tell you what could be a good one here. Luis Arraez.
That would be a good get for the Mariners.
That would be a good get.
They just need guys who, as they said in Moneyball, get on base.
He does do that. Less so than he used to, but he does do that. And yeah, he now plays good second base defense. Great second base defense. So
look at that.
Who knows? But yeah, impending free agent. I'm going up a list of guys.
I'm going to be really interested to see who's going to sell, especially in the American League, because we obviously know Scooble's going to get traded to the Dodgers. That's a foregone conclusion, right? I can't wait to talk about that. But everybody else, what are they going to do? Who's going to buy? Who's going to sell? One thing we do know is your Twins are not going to trade Byron Buxton.
They are not. They are not. Byron Buxton had an expletive-laden quote that was published about how he is sticking around. And can I just say, I love that man so much. I love that man so much. Byron Buxton, 25 home runs, I think he is in here. 24, yep. 25 home runs. Man, he's good.
Yeah. Oh, though what I did read called him a franchise icon. Would you call him a franchise icon up there with Joe Mauer and Kirby Puckett?
He's getting there. He is nice. Getting there. Yeah. He might need another all-star. But I think absolutely for this generation of Twins fans, certainly he is getting there. And the thing with Buck has been he hasn't like played enough games to really attain that status, but he's working on it. I mean, he has had a great year so far. You know, we'll see.
All right, so moving on here. My takeaway from the first half is there's about to be a lot more home runs hit from those 20 homer guys that you expected maybe 15 from at the beginning of the season, because the ball officially has the second lowest drag on it since 2000 something. Since the juiced ball era, basically.
I do 2019. Yeah, 2019. I did see some things in passing about this. And truthfully, I haven't done a ton of digging into all of that, but I've seen a little bit. I've seen the headlines. I've seen some stuff. And also anecdotally, the ball do be flying.
I love that. The ball do be flying. So how does that affect, let's put it in the context of the shallows. How does that affect shallow leagues, Carson?
That means that the margins on flyball pitchers get very thin.
Shota Imanaga.
He's exactly who I was thinking of. and I think it means that you can, I think it means that there's going to be, well, first of all, what the heck, Vlad Guerrero Jr.? What the heck, Fernando Tatis?
Right?
You guys, excuse me. I think that for some of those players that get a lot of fly balls, a lot of fly ball hitters, I think you should be savvy and try to buy them. Don't overpay, but because it's not 2019 levels, but still, that's I think something to be aware of. Guys who are swinging for the fences, swinging up on fly balls, will probably be performing stronger this year than other years.
I'm curious, just to harken back, as this is our 20th episode, harken back to an earlier episode in the year when you introduced everybody to under percentage.
Ah, yes.
Well, is under percentage, a stat that you might want to look at when looking to buy those players and figuring out which players are worth buying?
Under percentage, not quite, because under percentage looks only at the ones that are like bad. Under percentage is a pop-up. However, fly ball percentage, it's sexier cousin. Yes. Which I think guys like, as I'm looking through the list here, as I'm pulling it up, Carey Carpenter, Murakami, Zach Neto has a fly ball percentage about 40%. Cal Raleigh, of course, is through the roof. So, like, it's close. It's close. So close.
It's coming. It's coming for Cal.
Close. but there's a lot of guys that have that swing, that those pulled fly balls that look really good. Now, at the same time, Nick Castellanos also has a really high one, but just ignore that. Just pretend that doesn't exist.
I like that you brought up Zach Neto. Zach Neto was on like a 35 home run pace, if anyone isn't really paying attention. That's wild.
Zach Neto, man. If he was on the Dodgers, we would be talking about him so much.
We would. But so he's much. On the Angels and striking out 32.7% of the time. So there you have it.
No, we're not.
Yeah, exactly.
But he is really good.
He is really good. All right. So my takeaway is that the ball's about to be flying, to try and put it in Carson's lexicon there. So my take on how this affects shallow leagues is that you're going to be able to be a little bit more cavalier with your hitters, especially up until mid-September when it starts to really cool off around the country. I think you'll be able to look, marquee names do not drop. Okay. Like, don't be silly. Don't look at Caleb Durbin and go, oh man, Ketel Marte's been cold. I'm going to make that swap. No. Don't do that. That's not the level of cavalier I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you look at a guy like JJ Bleda, whose Statcast page looks phenomenal, but he's ice cold right now. You can be a little bit more cavalier in swapping out JJ Bleda for somebody who is, you know, on fire at the moment, i.e. Dansby Swanson, Caleb Durbin. I know they don't play the outfield, but utility exists, right? So I think you may want to be a little bit more aggressive on your hitters. And I'm not saying stream them, because I'm not a fan of streaming hitters. I'm not going to pick up a hitter for a weekend matchup. Not going to do that. I'm talking about somebody that you can expect to leave in your lineup for, 2 weeks at a time here. So that's how I would. Oh, yes. Unless
there's some environmental factors, obviously, of course, in Vegas or some, and then there's some crazy stuff. But
yes, of course. I'm talking for the majority, not just not just Coors Field Sacramento.
I was thinking once if I can have a strategy of like, can I do really well if I built my entire lineup around who's playing the Rockies that week?
That'd be a fun, like, low stakes league to experiment.
I thought about that. A couple of years ago when they were allowing like 1,000 runs, it was like, never did it, but it was in the back of my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my takeaway. Do you have any other takeaways from the first half, Carson?
My biggest takeaway from the first half is we are set for a blockbuster trade deadline. I think people generally, I am of the opinion that people are underestimating how crazy this is going to get. There is a lot of big teams that are doing very badly. And when that happens, heads roll. And I think the Red Sox, the Giants,
big sellers,
the Mets could be pretty interesting here. And then, you look at the standings. Who is going to bite the bullet? Who's going to make the moves? The Angels, of course, are down there. I think the Reds are also kind of a sneaky name that they've been struggling a lot in June. If that continues into July, they could part with some pieces. And I think there's a lot of teams that are on the outside. The Orioles, even. Like, the Orioles are in a weird spot. I don't know what's going on with them. I think there's a lot of names, a lot of pending free agents, a lot of players. The Minnesota Twins, obviously, we saw a headline about Joe Ryan and Ryan Jeffers are looking to be parted with. And, of course, the big headline is Tarek going somewhere.
No, not if. When.
Yeah.
And we know where.
I'm not... You know, I do kind of wonder if some other team is going to jump on Skubal.
But no
some
other team.
Other team slightly south of Los Angeles, perhaps.
You think the Padres are going to jump on Skubal?
First of all, AJ Preller.
Fair. Okay. Yep. Always. Yep. Always.
Second of all, they need it.
Yes.
Crazier things have happened. Listen, if I think if there's another team to do it, they would be one of them.
Yeah, he does gut his farm system.
He would
fairly
totally
often.
Do it. And like the Braves, I don't think they have the capital. I don't think any of the other teams like that. I don't think the Cardinals would buy in on that, although it'd be crazy fun. And I don't think anyone in the AL is going for it.
See, the thing, and why I'm so adamant that it's going to be the Dodgers, and most people are, is because they can just empty the farm system.
Well, they have the stuff.
And they still have plenty left.
They have the stuff, but I do wonder if I don't know, maybe they're going to be a little too comfortable with that. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we will see. I think it'll be a fascinating trade deadline regardless, so I agree with you on that. All right, my other takeaway from this first half is it's regression comes from us all, man. It comes for us all. You've seen that in some pitching lately. Regression has come. Regression is coming for Dansby Swanson in the right way, in the good way, I should say. So regression comes for us all. So be aware, if you've had struggling pitching that wasn't supposed to struggle, if you've had great pitching that wasn't supposed to be great, be aware what's going to happen. And same thing on the hitting side. I do think at some point you're going to have some players who maybe that were really hot in April have been really cold since. They're going to heat up again and get back to the middle, for lack of a better term. One of the guys I'm personally thinking about in that regard is Sal Stewart. Process is still really good. Results haven't been there. Be aware, he plays in Great American Small Park. But yeah, so I think regression is happening. It feels like it was like school was out for the year and regression started happening for all of players across baseball. It was just like a weird coincidence to me. So, yep, that's my other takeaway from the first half is regression comes for us all. And we'll continue into the second half. All right, those are our first half takeaways. Again, right at the halfway point. When we come back, it's our all-star ballots. We're going to go position by position, picking our all-star starters for each position so far in fantasy. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Shallows. I'm Eric. That's Carson. And these are our all-star starters at each position so far this season, or really just in general, because the all-star game is coming up in a couple weeks. Has voting closed IRL?
It's either about to close. I think it's still open for like maybe a day or so.
Yeah, Vlad, like almost doubling Ben Rice's votes is a travesty. Though he does have an entire country voting for him versus 2/3 of a city. I'm giving Mets fans the other third. All right, so here we go. We're going to start at catcher. These are our all-star starters. We're going to alternate between Carson and myself, but we're going to go through each position here. Carson, who is your all-star starter at catcher?
At catcher is so difficult, I think. Well, first of all, I'm not going to say Ben Rice because he has some eligibility in some leagues, but that's a little too easy. I'm not going to do it. You know what about that. So in terms of like actual catchers, it's tricky. There's a lot of guys at the top, but I still think right now it's a tie for me between, and you know what? Actually, I'm looking a little deeper. And it's not a tie. By a nose, it's going to be Dylan Dingler for me.
Oh,
I was,
nice.
I was going to say Shea Langelier, and he deserves an honorable mention. But Dylan Dingler has been absurdly good behind the dish for the Tigers. And he's one of my favorite players in actual baseball and in fantasy, certainly. And what just made me say that right now, and like why he pulled ahead, 56 RBI.
Yeah.
That's a ton for this stage in the year. He's hitting 267, 333, 535, doing really well. Does not have any stolen bases, but it's a catcher position. You're hardly going to get any. This is a fantastic year for Dylan Dingler, and he gets my all-star vote.
All right. So for me, first of all, that was a great pick. I 100% anticipated you taking Shea Langeliers.
I was so close. It was so close.
I'm not going to go obvious like that either. And I'm not going to pick Drake Baldwin either, who I think would have easily gotten that vote had he not gotten hurt. I'm going to take Liam Hicks because nobody saw it coming.
Love this. Liam
Hicks.
Nobody
saw it coming. He's been fantastic. He's played 73 games. He just went on the 10-day injured list. I understand that. But he's played 73 games for a catcher. That's pretty wild. 13 homers, 53 RBIs, a microscopic 9.7% K rate, 278 batting average. He's just been like, you cannot lose having picked up Liam Hicks to this point in the season. He is an absolute profit generator here. He is a casino printing you money in profit so far this fantasy season. Liam Hicks is my pick for all-star catcher so far this year. Also, first base eligible, depending on what platform you play in. All right, moving on. First base. Speaking of, Carson, who is your starter at first base? A very, very deep position with a lot of options to pick from.
Oh, it's so tough. I mean, it's really weird at first base. And I think this is what I feel like for me, one of the first times in years where it feels like first base is highly relevant.
It's been a couple guys again.
Yeah, there's a lot of big years. And so my guy is actually going to be Nick Kurtz.
Fair enough.
He had a mediocre April, all incredible since. Now, granted, he had that crazy series in Vegas, so that's buffing his stats a decent bit. Fair. Yeah. But argue with the wall, 62 RBIs. Come on.
Real
that's
good.
Crazy. He's been fantastic. And to boot, 7 stolen bases. Like, not half bad at all for a guy that has been, since May, one of, if not the best hitter in baseball. So, Nick Kurtz absolutely is my first base all-star.
You know, they were my pick for first base is they were writing him off. They said he's getting old. His GM wrote him off. But Bryce Harper has 17 home runs, 52 runs scored, 44 RBIs, 5 stolen bases. He's dropped his strikeout rate, increased his walk rate, and he's hitting about 264, which is right where I'd expect him to hit. But Bryce Harper is my all-star selection at first base because he is still one of the best players in baseball.
He's that guy, man.
He is that dude. But I do want to check his high school statistics growing up in Las Vegas because I'm not sure they're as legitimate as everyone could say they are.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah. Bryce Harper has just been absolutely fantastic. Another guy that you are just profiting if you drafted because he has definitely overperformed his draft position this year. Bryce, welcome back to being that dude.
I want to give an honorable mention real quick, though.
Sure.
Wilson Contreras for the Red Sox. Wow. Yes. If you took him like I did, wow, he's been good. Wow, he's been good. 280, 375, 520. Great season.
And you know what? While we're at it, let's shout out Miguel Vargas for having just an outstanding season so far as well. All right, moving on. Second base, Carson. Who is your all-star at second base? The top guys at the position have probably not earned that vote yet.
No. Marte has been a lot better. But for me, this one is no question. It's been a few years since he's been at the top of his game, but I am so happy to see him back. Brandon Lau, yourself a first half. 249, 326, 515, 19 home runs, 51 RBI. He has been fantastic at second base. for the Pirates, and I am ecstatic to be a Brandon Lau owner. Feels like he was like undervalued getting there, and this is a great resurgent year for him.
Totally dispelling the fact that you can't homer at PNC Park, FYI. He is crushing the ball. Love Brandon Lau. We did say, do not let him get a goal, sniped from you in your drafts, right? Because we were like, he is the bottom second baseman where do not go past this point. And we also called him a sleeper at second base because he was about the 10th second baseman off the board in the preseason. I am going to pick somebody totally different. He does not have 19 home runs. He does have a handful, though. Running, hitting well over 330. It's one of your favorites from the Miami Marlins. Otto Lopez is my all-star pick at second base. Look, I drafted Luke Kuechel in a Keep Forever League. Made sense in the preseason. He was terrible. I picked up Otto Lopez, and I could not be happier. Otto Lopez has just been absolutely fantastic this season. Much like the other guys we are mentioning here, you are profiting if you have Otto Lopez on your roster. 6 homers, 51 runs scored, 35 RBI, 16 stolen bases, and he's hitting 340. Otto Lopez has just been great.
Oh, man, he's been awesome. Now, it's going to come a little down to earth.
Of course.
It will, for sure. But, Eric, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
You're not a Lopez guy.
That's my man. That's my guy.
Oh, man. Yeah, big fan of Otto Lopez. Look, regression, like you said, regression is going to come, but his XBA is still 295. It's the 95th percentile. So even if he hits 280 rest of season, he's going to run. He's scoring plenty of runs. He's been plenty valuable at the keystone position for you in fantasy this year. All right, next up, the hot corner, third base. Quite possibly the most abysmal position in fantasy this season. Carson, who is your all-star selection at the hot corner?
Third base is really weird. I don't think there's anyone clearly that has it. There's a few guys that are in the mix of who's been doing really well and who hasn't. But I am going to, we already gave the flowers to Miguel Vargas, who, by the way, has been fantastic. So I'm going to go Junior Caminero for this one, who is hitting 285, which is just great.
That's crazy.
That's great, considering he's also got 19 home runs. And the RBI has been a little on the slow side, and he does not steal bases. But Caminero, after a breakout season last year, is kind of reestablishing himself, or not reestablishing, but continuing to establish himself as the best or one of the best third basemen in baseball. He's been fantastic. 285, 377, 519, 19 home runs on the year so far. Closing in on 40 home run pace, maybe lagging just a tick behind. Doing great.
Carson, you didn't say that he had a 3-homer game today. So just throwing that out there. And that's how he, because I'm looking at his stats. I'm like, no, that's not matching up. That's not matching up. What are you saying? And then I look up on the live stats, 3 homers, 6 RBIs. The man is just, he's barely a man. He's 22. He's just wild. He is phenomenal. He is dispelling the fact that you can't hit at the trop also. All right. So my pick for an all-star at third base. Okay, this is really rough because the position has been quite bad. You have a lot of options here, though, that have been sneaky good. You got Kevin McGonigal, Sal Stewart, multi-position eligibility. J.J. Weatherholt's been very good, but I'm not going to pick any of those guys. I'm not even going to pick J-Ram because J-Ram was not great. Ran a lot. Power is missing. I am going to pick Max Muncy at third base.
Great.
Max Muncy has had a quietly phenomenal season. He continues what he did last year after he realized, oh, you know what? Actually, I need glasses. So Max Muncy has just been phenomenal. He's 35 years old now, and he's having one of the best seasons of his career. 266, 16 homers, 34 RBI, 47 runs scored. It's just, he's been so solid. If you drafted Max Muncy, guess what? Just like everybody else, you're profiting. Max Muncy has just been phenomenal, and he plays in the best offense in baseball. I should say the deepest offense in baseball, especially once Kyle Tucker, or should I say if Kyle Tucker ever gets going.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, so Max Muncy is my pick there. Managed to stay healthy so far, knock on wood, this season as well. I hit my headphones. I meant to hit my head. If you're watching. All right, so next up, shortstop. All right, Carson, who is your pick for an all-star at shortstop?
Much to my chagrin, as someone that's continuously doubted him, it's absolutely CJ Abrams. This is a great season. He is just continuing. Now, Abrams has been a guy that has been effective at getting stolen bases and home runs. He's been a 20-20 player and had okay ratios, but never blown things out of the water. 287, 375, 29, being able to walk, getting on base more, maximizing that with 13 stolen bases, 17 home runs, and doing it near the top of the order in a lineup that has James Wood batting in front of him. And so he's been able to get 57 RBI as a result. This is a phenomenal season from CJ Abrams, and we will see if he is a National by the end of the year.
Ooh, interesting take there. I'd also be interested to see if he can keep it up. Woba and ex-Woba do not agree with each other.
Certainly not. But
yeah,
still.
Yeah. Oh, we are talking first half here, right? So all-star selections generally happen based on performance in the first half, because the second half hasn't happened yet. Can't look into the future, right?
Yeah.
All right. So to me, this has been the most disappointing position in fantasy so far. Third base we knew was bad. Shortstop was so deep, and it has just been not great, especially after you get past like the top three performers so far at the position. Lindor's been hurt all year. Ellie De La Cruz just missed 3 weeks. Gunnar Henderson's been lucky to hit his weight. Okay, Mookie Betts has not been great. So this is really tough. Bo Bichette's been really good over the last 3 weeks. I don't want to pick him. This is the hardest position for me to pick. You picked basically the choice in CJ Abrams. I will say Ellie De La Cruz. I know he's missed 3 weeks, but Ellie's just been fantastic. He's showing improvements where you want to see the improvements. And now he's going to play with the Heat at Great American Small Park. I anticipate many more home runs, many more stolen bases. Actually, you know what? His K rate is a lot higher than I thought. So maybe I shouldn't pick Ellie.
Nah, he's good. Stick with it. He's good.
Okay, yeah, I like Ellie a lot.
His K rate's always going to be high. Come on.
Yeah, but it's 4% higher than last year. Yeah, wrong direction. Because shortstop has been so bad, especially in the brand names, I guess I don't want to pick Bobby Witt, okay? Like, it's obvious Bobby Witt is the best shortstop in baseball, right? Who are you going to take? Who might have the best second half in at this position? Because it's, like I said, not been great.
I feel like this could be a really sneaky Lindor second half kind of year.
Yeah.
Lindor has always been a second half kind of guy, and he's obviously been completely absent. I feel like that's a name that could just be flying way under the radar of what people expect in terms of production. I feel like he could have a very nice second half. Also, Mookie Betts, shortstop. Yeah. Mookie Betts. Look up his expected stats. They're very good.
I'm going to do that real quick as I tell you that I think it would not surprise me at all if Connor Griffin is the best shortstop outside of Bobby Witt Jr. in the second half, coming back from his forearm strain. Yeah, Mookie's expected stats are real good.
I know, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm believing in him. Yeah, he's a future Hall of Famer. Five-time world champion? Four? I forget how many World Series titles he has.
Four.
Yeah, look, he's a winner. And I respect the heck out of Mookie Betts. So I will never discount him until he gives the most obvious reasons to do so. but yeah, and he hasn't done that. I'm sorry, he just hasn't. All-time great. All right, moving on to the outfield. Man, yeah, just shortstop's just been so terrible. All right, so outfield. Carson, this is a deeper position, so let's each name three.
Yep. Well, one of mine is absolutely one of the best hitters in baseball, the plate appearance leader in the year. James Wood is having the first half from last year and then some, and he has just been one of the best players in baseball. Simple as that. 20 home runs, 13 stolen bases, 265, 395, 19. Even a little quieter over the last week or so, but James Wood, he's amazing. Has been fantastic. Second guy is Yordan Alvarez. I'll be the one to say it. Yordan Alvarez. I mean, I was doubting him coming into the year. I feel foolish for doing so. He's also been very healthy. So credit to the Astros training staff.
Which that's the first time anyone's ever said that.
I was going to say, tell you what, he's done it. And Eric, I know you're not going to like it.
I know who you're picking. Go ahead. Just say it.
Listen, he's been so good. Yeah, like,
yes.
Pete Crow Armstrong has been outrageously good this month. Like, it's one of the best months a center fielder has had in the last couple decades.
He hit for the cycle and got picked off at first base.
Yeah. Okay. Which is
the only negative I can say about him this month.
it's just been absolutely outrageous. We'll obviously see if he keeps it up, but as it stands right now, he's got 17 home runs, 18 stolen bases to go along with it, very easily getting to 2020, knocking on 2025 pace. Pace is more like
30 pace.
Yeah, we'll see how the hot stretch goes. Still, right. 285, 366, 520. I mean, this is an outstanding season so far from Pete Crow Armstrong, and of course, not that it's fantasy relevant, but he's playing some of the best defense in center field that we've seen since Andrew Jones, and thus his value is through the roof.
Yes. All right. Those are some pretty good picks, minus one. But I'm joking. I'm joking. All right. So my choices for the outfield are going to be Kyle Schwarber, because he's just...
outfield.
Right. Raking. He's outfield eligible. He shouldn't be, but he's an absolute animal at the dish. Man. Yeah, James Wood definitely won. Let's go a little deeper down the rankings here. Jordan Walker.
Yeah.
Has to be an all-star in the outfield. He, like, literally nobody, not a single person saw this coming. And if you did, you have the almanac from Back to the Future, okay? This is just wild what Jordan Walker has done. The transformation year over year. You don't need me to give you his stats. He's been so good, and he's maintained that breakout. Jordan Walker is one of my picks. Let's go with Randy Arozarena. Randy Arozarena has been very good, turning a profit for you based on where you drafted him. But look, we know, we've seen this time and time again. Randy has a good half and a bad half. He had his good half first this year. Hopefully, he can maintain it in the second half, but I am not confident based on the track record. However, because his hot streak was in the first half, he earns an all-star bid here from me. And then it gets tough because I go further down this list. I see underperformers. I see guys who have gotten hurt, like Aaron Judge. I mean, Andy Páez coming back down to earth a little bit recently, but has been very good so far this season. I'll take Andy Páez. I could take Corbin Carroll, but, you know. So I'm going to take Schwarber. I'm going to take Jordan Walker, and I'll take Andy Páez as my three outfield all-star selections.
Okay. And Byron Buxton.
Oh, my goodness. How did neither of us pick him? You know,
I purposely didn't, but I needed to say, yeah. Yes.
100%, 100%. You know what? He'll be my utility DH pick.
Yeah, okay. Kyle Schwarber, you're out there. All right.
Sure. All right, Carson. So who is your utility or DH pick? To me, that could be anybody because you can slot anybody into that position. But do you want to take somebody who is solely eligible at utility?
Yeah, I was solely eligible. Give me a moment here. I think for sole eligibility at DH, Schwarber is really the obvious one, right? Or, I mean, depending on your league format, I think in a lot of my leagues, he is solely utility. So I'm just going to say him. But if not, he is for me. So I'll say Schwarber. But I'll also say, hey, Shohei Ohtani's been really good in June. Hey, Shohei Ohtani's been really good in June. Like really one of his best months.
Yeah.
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 Goat.
Probably.
Goat. All right.
Getting there.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to take in this position, I'm not going to take somebody who is solely eligible at utility DH here. I'm going to take Ben Rice because he's been so good, and we have to give him his flowers as well. I know you said you didn't want to mention him for catcher. He's played first base for the Yankees. But yeah, Ben Rice, it's been a top 10 fantasy player this season. So good. So good.
So good.
Speaking of all-star selections, we have some news that broke while we're doing this segment, and we'll get to that at the very end. So stay with us here. We have just a couple positions left. Starting pitchers. Carson, name your three starting pitcher all-stars so far this season.
Well, it's the three guys this year. It's Miz, it's Sanchez, it's Schlittler.
Yeah.
Honorable mention, I think, to Ohtani, who probably would get there if he threw more innings.
That's the, I mean, you can't, I can't, yep. There's literally nothing to argue about. Those are the best three pitchers, period, so far this year. Just to pick three other players, I'll go Chase Burns. I'll go Dylan Cease.
Yes.
And I'll go, I mean, Yamamoto. Is that too obvious?
Sale.
Yes. There it is. That's an obvious one, but I'll take Sale. Chris. Yeah, I'll take Chris Sale. And honorable mention to your Joe Ryan, who's been very, very good this year. All right.
First half guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He is. But
I'll give you another honorable mention. Give you an honorable mention. Zach Wheeler.
Oh, yeah. We were wrong.
Yeah. We were wrong on this.
We were both wrong.
We were both wrong. But you know what? Credit where it's due. He's been great.
Yeah. He has. Should we one more honorable mention? Parker Messick?
Sure.
Yeah. Why not? And Logan Webb, since coming off the IL, has been.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So good. Incredible. Yeah. All right.
The reliever is Mason Miller.
Yes.
it's Mason Miller and it's Louis Varland. And next.
And Yoán Duran has been fantastic. Why not? Highest K rate.
Yeah, I'm sorry. His ERA starts with a one. That's not.
He doesn't qualify.
Doesn't qualify. No, only sub one ERAs here.
Jeez. Yeah, definitely Louis Varland and Mason Miller as the two and the one. Oh man, so good.
You know, Brian Baker, who has taken the closer role for the Rays, which has never existed, and is now. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, what's your news, Eric?
My news. Is that the All-Star Game finalists have been announced.
Yes, I saw this.
As we're doing this. Seven Blue Jays players. It's just ridiculous.
Ernie Clement finished as the most in the American League, which makes me mad.
I mean, makes me so mad.
No, it makes me mad. I'm going to say that. Come on, guy. Mm.
He doesn't even make the fantasy all-stars. So
oh,
please.
My goodness.
Ernie Clement will be the American League second baseman. Absolutely wild. He finished as the top vote getter in the American League. What?
Yeah.
Jordan Alvarez and Aaron Judge are in the... Bobby Witt.
We got a designated hitter is Jordan Alvarez and George Springer.
Oh my
God. All right. Shallows listeners and Canadians, listen. I love you, Canadians, but we got to do something about this. Do not let Blue Jays crowd out. We will end the show if Jesus Sanchez gets in over Byron Buxton for the outfield. I am not coming back.
You need to go rally in the streets of Minneapolis, Carson.
I'm going to stand outside with a QR code. And just vote for Byron Buxton.
Yep. Yeah, this is.
Okay,
do you know the actual definition of atrocity?
Yeah, I like what the dictionary definition.
Yes. It is a wartime act of cruelty, is an atrocity. This all-star return is an atrocity, okay? It is literally Canada waging war against every other Major League Baseball player and team and says, no. We need our all-stars. We want to see them play one extra game, two extra innings. That's what we need to see.
But, oh, Blue Jays fans, you did have two extra innings in Game 7 of the World Series last year. How could you forget?
I love the sarcasm. And with that, we're going to wrap it up right there. That was a lot of fun, this show, giving you our all-star starters, our first half takeaways, and talking about top performers of the last week. If for some reason you're only listening to this little bit of the show, why? Go listen to the rest of it. It was phenomenal. We'll be back next Friday with a brand new episode. To make sure you never miss an episode, please subscribe. We're available wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have any questions for us to answer right here on the pod, reach out on social media, leave a comment on YouTube, hit us up on the PL Discord, or email us at theshallowspod@gmail.com. He's Carson Picard at Carson Picard on Blue Sky. I'm Eric Hendrickson at Eric Hinn on Blue Sky and Twitter. That's Eric with a K, reminding you that murky waters are fine if you know how to swim. And we just gave you a bunch of players that have swam quite well in the first half. See you next time in the shallows.
Take care, y'all.